This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 31st, 2024, Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those unfamiliar with our liturgy, those new to this place, we hear that verse every single Mass. Every single Mass. It is not something that is traditional. It's not something that is Anglican. It's Bible. It's Scripture. It was the second reading today, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. I don't like the modern versions, kind of moderns it up a little bit and kind of misses the whole point. But the proper translation is, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover. In the English-speaking world, and in very few languages, English and German are the only two that I can that come up on the top of my head, is where it's referred to as Easter. Every other language has some kind of offshoot of the Passover, the Pasch in Hebrew. Pascua de Resurrection in French, the Pâque. Across language, it's always about the Passover. And when we say Christ is our Passover, we are talking about Easter for us. Because Easter is the fulfillment of the Passover. And what was the whole Passover event? In order to have the destroyer, the angel of death, touch you, you killed the Passover lamb and you painted the lintels and the doorposts of your house with the blood of that lamb. And then our Lord immediately, not only did the angel of death pass over, but you're taken out of bondage, and then you pass through the Red Sea, the Passover. This is what we celebrate today, Easter. This is something that we don't want to lose sight of. We don't want to, because, again, I think it's a deficiency that we don't, in English, call it the Passover, because it's the fulfillment of the Passover. It's the fulfillment of that Red Sea event. Whereas the people of Israel were brought out of chattel slavery and they went through the Red Sea and then went on the Exodus and then basically the Promised Land, which was really nothing more than a real estate deal. Here, I'm going to give you this spit of land and you go live there. It's so much deeper for us. It's so much deeper for us. We are brought out of the bondage of sin. Not chattel slavery, because not everybody's a chattel slave, but everyone is in bondage to sin. Everybody's in bondage to sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives you opportunity to, by placing his shed blood upon yourself, to be free from sin, and then to experience this exodus in this world, where we are not moved into a real estate deal, but into the promised land of eternal bliss in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the saints. This is what it is for us. This is truly the fulfillment of the Red Sea event. When you look at the historic Passover, the principal feast of the people of God up until our Lord Jesus Christ came, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Blessed Sacrament of the altar at one, his last Passover meal. And things changed then. This is why if you come here more than a couple years at Easter time, and during the Easter time, I always throw out this critique, is to why some Catholics have this preoccupation with experiencing the Passover. There are some parishes that actually have a Passover. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? That is a looking back. Our Lord says, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you are not worthy to be my disciple. And they're looking back at a shadow of something. You know, and I'm not criticizing. If I went to one once, or I would, I am not saying that it's sinful or bad to have, okay, yeah, that's the deal. But, you know, we're not quick to do other things that they used to do back in the day. Always point out the example, you know, hey, at St. So-and-so, they're going to kill a goat this week and burn it on an altar out front. There's not a whole lot of people who would probably go to that one, right? That was a shadow of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we like one shadow and not the other? Well, because one's nice and you get to eat. That's not what this is about. It's about Jesus. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Easter is Jesus. Every Mass we go to is Jesus. They said it was a principal feast of the people of God up until Jesus came. And what was the central rite in that celebration? Eating the sacrificed lamb. This is what this is all about. But again, it was just a shadow. We have the reality of things. Easter is the fulfillment of the Passover, not the Passover meal. And we never want to lose sight of that. So, the Jewish people in the Passover, what were they doing when they celebrated this? 7-day feast. Just like they had a 7-day feast. We have 8, the octave of Easter. Okay? We take it even to another extreme. But we have to understand that, you know, we keep this event alive not just during Eastertide. We keep this event, should keep this event alive every day, every hour of the day. The context is everything, right? And it sounds like, you know, I started this out with what we hear at every Mass. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. What is the context? Because it sounds nice, right? He's our Passover. Let us keep the feast. Let's all come up to communion. That's not the context at all. It's not a positive context in any way, shape, or form. You know what the context of that passage is? An excommunication. An excommunication of a horrendous sinner. An incestuous fornicator. And they got him in the church. And they're, oh, aren't we gracious? Look, you know, we got this guy here. And St. Paul's like, oh, heck no. Heck no. Get him out. He's leaven. He will corrupt you. Get him out of that church immediately. Excommunication. And you excommunicate him because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast and purge out the leaven. This is why we should read the scriptures and not just parts of it, because they can sound one way when they're presented without the context. It's not what it is. This speaks volumes to us. St. Paul is saying you need to keep the event alive. Back in the day, the Jews, it wasn't a matter of we only eat unleavened bread during the Passover. There was no leaven to be allowed in their house during the whole time. Couldn't even have it in your house. And for them, it was a very superficial appreciation of the fact that God took them out of slavery so quickly that they didn't have time to let their bread leaven. They had to bring it without it rising and eat it like that. Unleavened bread, matzah, that stuff. That's what it is for them. For us, our Lord Jesus Christ and St. Paul, they speak of this leaven. Our Lord Jesus uses it both in positive and negative terms. If you're good, that's leaven. It makes other people, and you do good works and all this kind of stuff, it's good. But he speaks of it being evil also. So like one of the, it's not whether it's good or evil. What the point that our Lord Jesus Christ is making is that a small amount of either will result in very, very large things. You only need a little leaven to leaven a whole lump of dough. You only need a little leaven, in the negative context, a sinner. One sinner, two sinners in a congregation can wreck the place. Absolutely wreck the place. This is what St. Paul is talking about. Purge the old leaven. Again, St. Paul's writing about a most horrendous sin. Horrendous. And here they were. What situation does that sound like, where we let rank sinners in the church and don't say anything about it? When does that sound like? So St. Paul's words, he was dealing with it back then. We're dealing with it right now. Behold what happens when you allow leaven, unaddressed, to be in the church. Huge results. Behold. I don't mean here. I mean behold. This is what's going on now. We talk about the leaven, purging the old leaven. Two ways to look at it, both individually and corporately. We as individuals in Christ Church should always be conscious of purging the old leaven. Again, this is why I got kind of a hang up on people who want to look back. And not because I do, because Jesus does. Whoever looks back is not worthy to be my disciple. So this looking back to old things is very, very dangerous, because it's very, very tempting. Because I'll use myself as an example. Most of you would not have spoken to me 30 years ago if you knew me. Back in the day, I would lie, I would be lying, be consumed before the altar if I said that I did. To this day, I'm like, thinking back to that stuff and go, oh man, that was fun. Oh man, that was fun. Oh man, I'm like, Looking back on things is very tempting. We want to keep our eyes forward as individuals. We want to purge the leaven from the past and when it crops up now. This is what St. Paul's talking about. But it's really deleterious when you look at what has happened to the church and sin has gone on unaddressed. St. John Chrysostom says this, speaking on this passage. He says, the old leaven refers, among other things, to priests who allow an enormous amount of old leaven to remain within the church. That's St. John Chrysostom. That's way back in the day. Priests are human beings, and unfortunately, a lot of them like to appeal to people, to make them like them, to give them things that they want to hear. Prime example, Easter, right? Churches are packed. Many more people are here on Easter and Christmas than any other Sunday. It can be good, it can be bad. There are people who are in church on Easter because it's Easter, or they've been browbeat by their family members into coming to church, and they want to go to dinner afterwards, and they don't want to hear the nod, so they just come to church. For a person that comes into church and is motivated by, you know what, I haven't been to Mass in 3 years, or I only been at Mass at Christmas and Easter, I know that's wrong, I'm going to go on Easter, and I'm going to start going every Sunday, and every holy day of obligation, that is a holy thing. Praise God that there are some individuals who will have that motivation. And this Easter will change their standing with Christ and will put them on a road to where they are passing through that Red Sea. There are other people who are just here because they've been browbeat by family members. And they have no intention whatsoever, no intention of coming back, whether even next Easter, because I won't be here next Easter. I'll be up in this place and everything. I won't have to hear about it. That person does the same work, but he does something evil. The same work, but evil because of their motivation, their lack of motivation, their apathy, their disinterest in anything of Christ. Now, I use that example because every priest walking the face of this planet. I mean, we joke about it, how packed the churches are on Easter and Christmas. C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. And this is not a conjecture on my part. This is just fact. In the vast majority of parishes, you will not hear the priest get up there and say, hey, appreciate you being here, and giving out a little spiel, say, it's a holy thing if you are here today and you haven't been for a long, long time or never been before, and to take this ball and run with it. That's a glorious thing. But if you're here because you've been browbeat by your family members, and you haven't been to Mass on Sundays or holy days of obligation, or if you haven't been to confession in the last calendar year, or if you have not maintained the Eucharistic fast that is mandated by the church, if you haven't done those things, do not come up to communion, because it will be a danger to your soul. You will be in even more grave sin than you are right now, so just don't come up for communion. There's not a Sunday that goes by here almost. I can hardly think. I speak of being properly disposed. I've had people come up and go, I've never heard a priest say that before. You need to be properly disposed. This is what St. John Chrysostom is talking about. How many sacrileges against our Lord, the resurrected Christ, how many sacrileges are going to occur last night and today? Because people, it's just the time in the Mass when you come up. Let us keep the feast. Let us keep the feast, purging out the old leaven. That's not a period at the end of that. It is not the time of the Mass where everybody comes up and receives. You'd come up and receive if you're properly disposed to receive. This is the admonition that needs to be thrown out. And it's not being thrown out. Behold what happens. Oh, give this rank sinner the communion because it's a medicine for the soul. Not for his, it's poison for his soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Another thing you don't hear read in the church anymore, but it says it. Just because you don't hear it doesn't mean it's not there. This is a problem. Leaven. Therefore, let us keep the feast. St. Paul is not saying, therefore, let us celebrate. He's comparing and contrasting the Passover with what we have going on now. It's not a matter of doing something for 7 days. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast continually. This is why we just don't do Easter. Okay? You shouldn't look at it like that. Like they look at the Passover. Oh, Passover time's over. Wait till next year. For us, Easter is every time you go to Mass. Every single time you go to Mass, that's Easter. We hear the words. We see the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We get the passion and the resurrection. Every single time we come to Mass, therefore let us keep the feast continually. And when you keep the feast continually at Mass, then you have to do it individually. As you're going through your life, because you've received our Lord Jesus Christ at Mass, if you are properly disposed, to purge out that old leaven. Because we're on this journey here, and that journey is through this exodus of darkness, the valley of the shadow of death that we all face, and to keep our eyes on the light of the resurrected Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast continually. So from henceforth, when you hear those words there, it's not an invitation to come up and have communion. It's an invitation to continually purge your soul from sin, individually and corporately. Ambrosie Astor, not a huge popular name if you don't read theology, 4th century guy, the sacrifice comes first, and that it is possible to make the transition from the old life to the new. That's what this is all about. Like I said, there could be a person that's in their 70s who haven't been to Mass for 50 plus years who come today, and if they go to confession, everything is fixed. It can't be that easy. Well, it wasn't for him, but it is for us. All we have to do is appreciate that. And by appreciate, I don't mean just cognitively. I mean to continually purge out that old leaven and never look back. So St. Paul's words, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.